Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live from Pittsburgh, Benson's Victor Bring. Major League Baseball and all related things. Inside MLB. Inside MLB.
Welcome back, Inside MLB fans. My name is Benson Victor. It is Monday, April 4th, 2016. I'm sorry that I've been gone for a while, but I am back for the baseball season, and the baseball season is back. We have three exciting games today, games in progress, all games delayed, canceled, kind of crazy sort of day with all the rain and the snow yesterday up north. So we got a crazy baseball season started, and guess what? These games actually count by the end of today. Well, for some teams, at least every game, every team will have some meaning for the rest of the season. Every fan will have some optimism for the rest of the season. But today, really what I want to focus on for the first 15 minutes of this show is to talk about Bryce Harper, Max Scherzer, and sort of the driven Nationals this season as they're taking on Atlanta right now. Tie score 1-1 in the top of the third inning. And guess what? It's already crazy. Bryce Harper already hit a home run. So the past four opening days for him, his only four opening days, actually, he's hit a home run. I mean, he could go down as one of the best opening day players of all time. If you are an Inside MLB fan, you probably know I just released the opening day documentary. You can check that out on the YouTube channel. But, I mean, some of the best opening day accomplishments go on to mean you have one of the best careers of all time. What you do on opening day as a team doesn't really matter, but what a player's certain accomplishments on opening day, it really does matter. And Bryce Harper is just showing that he's one of the best players of this era. He could be one of the best players of all time. Who knows? He still has a long career ahead of him. Now I'm just excited to see what him and Max Scherzer bring to this driven Nationals team. I mean, last season, it was really marked by disappointment and turmoil. Let's be honest. People were saying, let's size up the reins, right? But that obviously didn't happen for the Nationals. The Nationals, disappointing. They had injuries. Their clubhouse was a mess. And, you know, the manager gets fired. And it's just really a crazy mess for the Nationals last year. And obviously, they were in a division fight for a long way with the Mets and the Nationals. The Nationals actually were ahead. The Mets, really, when they pulled ahead, was in July when they acquired guys like Kelly Johnson, Juan Uribe, and obviously I think Yoenis Cespedes pushed them over that edge. Now they're one of the most deadliest offenses in the big leagues. So this is really going to be a fight, I think, for the Nationals to win this division. I mean, everybody's saying how the Nationals are going to be so good, they're driven everything. Yes, they have the drive, but is the clubhouse fixed? Is Jonathan Papelbon and Bryce Harper, are they okay? Is the chemistry there? Because a lot of times in baseball, one thing comes down to, obviously, Yogi Berra's famous saying, this game is 10% physical, 90% mental. It's probably true. So that 90% mental, it becomes chemistry if you're winning on your like a winning streak or losing streak. And honestly, if you lose back-to-back nights, how are you going to come back that third night? If you get swept in a series, how are you going to come back to the next series? In baseball, you have to have a short memory. You strike out. How are you going to come back the next at-bat? What are you going to do in that at-bat? You fall down, you have to get up. And also, it's the case with health. If the Nationals aren't healthy, I mean, if any team is healthy, they won't be good. But the players who do get injured have to go to the trainer, and they have to put in the urge. They need to want to be back on the ball field. That's just pretty much the basis of the game. If you don't want to win, if you, you know, are more focused on your money or whatever, it's not going to be a good chemistry. That's not going to be a good bond. And obviously that happened last year. There wasn't a good chemistry. The health wasn't there. I mean, I'm not saying nobody in the clubhouse like each other, but the main thing, theme, I guess, you could think about for the Nationals is that Jonathan Papelbon, Bryce Harper fight. Jonathan Papelbon is trying to strangle Bryce Harper. That's what resonates with me from last year. But you have to remember, this Nationals team, it's good. They're going to be on a dogfight with the Mets. And I think if they don't win the division, there's still a good chance they can get a wild card spot. I know. The National League is stacked this year. Here's the thing with the National League. You have the hierarchy teams, right? And then you just have the god-awful teams. Atlanta, Philadelphia, Colorado can be thrown in, San Diego. Go to the East. You get Atlanta, Philadelphia. Go to the Central. Milwaukee, Cincinnati. Go to the West. San Diego, Colorado. So that's 6 teams right there. But the other 9, it's really competitive. And those 9, I mean, you could legitimately say they're all fighting for 5 spots. The Nationals, obviously the easiest way to get in for them would be to win the division so they don't have to go to the wild card game. And there's no guarantee that if the Nationals don't win the division that they are a lock for a playoff spot, because they're not. Remember, the National League Central, which I think is most talented division, upper-tier division in the league, you have the Pirates, Cubs, and Cardinals. And they're going to fight it out, I think, to the end. I hope the Pirates win, but you know it's not a guarantee. But then the 2 teams that are left out, they're going to be trying to fight for a wildcard spot, too. Go to the West. You get the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, and the Giants. What about the 2 teams that are left out there? What about the Marlins? And they're all fighting for 2 spots. There's only 3 division winners. So 9 minus 3. There are going to be 6 people fighting for 2 spots. 6 teams fighting for 2 spots. And again, it's going to come down to chemistry. The will to win. How healthy you are. I mean, how well you can bounce back, as I said. It's really all going to come down to that. And Dusty Baker, their new manager, he's really been known for doing more with less. That's why everybody's so excited about this Nationals team. I mean, I'm excited about this Nationals team. I think it's going to be challenging for the Nationals to go down and win the division, because the Mets now have one of the most potent offenses in the league with all the additions they made over the offseason. They obviously still have the rotation, and it's going to get better because Zach Wheeler's going to be back. Bartolo Colon's a good placeholder until then. Once Wheeler gets back, you have Harvey, Syndergaard, DeGrom, Mats, and Wheeler. Put those guys on another team. They're the automatic ace. So pretty much what you see for the Mets. One of the best offenses in the league. Could be number 1, I think, in the National League this year. And by far the best rotation in the whole league. You put that together, and it's going to be hard for Dusty Baker and the Nationals to pull it off. But if anybody's going to pull it off, I think it's going to be Dusty Baker and the Nationals. Go back to Dusty Baker's resume. What do you see? You see winning in San Francisco. You see winning in Chicago. You see winning in Cincinnati. You see winning everywhere he goes. And if the Nationals want a winning hire, Dusty Baker is that winning hire. He really is. And again, that 2 years ago, size up the reins, right? That team's pretty much all still there. I know you have some additions, subtractions of Doug Fister and Jordan Zimmerman, but besides that, the team that was by far the favorite to win the World Series is all still there. And just for a moment, I want to break off a little bit. No doubt favorites for the World Series this year, I mean, everybody knows who it is. It's the Chicago Cubs. And if the Nationals were that, what if in 2016 the Cubs are what you can call the 2015 Nationals? I know it's not the same thing. I know it's hard to find gaps and holes with this Cubs team, right? But theoretically, and it's a good point, I think, because the Nationals, when you analyze them, when all the analyzers, they try to dive into the Nationals, there were no holes. And when we try to look at the Cubs, what are the holes there? Exactly, there are none, at least on paper. Put them on the field, and it could be a whole different story. They could be the Nationals again. And when the Cubs play in such a tough division with the Pirates and the Cardinals, and obviously such a tough National League this year, which I think is going to be a dogfight to the end for every single playoff spot. Nobody's going to run away. Nobody's going to run away. So if you're the Cubs right now, I mean, you got to be happy right now. Vegas are usually right, and they picked him to win the World Series. But how often does the on-paper favorite win the World Series? It just doesn't happen that often. And the Cubs realize they're the on-paper favorites. Where's the drive? Because they already have, hey, we're the World Series favorites. It's not just going to be show up and you're a World Series champion. And I think that's one loophole you can find on the Cubs. Their age. Ever heard of the sophomore slump? That could happen with the Cubs. They could have a sophomore slump. And when young kids like them think they're no doubt World Series champions, like it's being given to them, which what I think every analyst is doing to them. Here's the World Series. Might as well crown your champions now. But it doesn't work like that. And I think the Cubs, their mindset, I think Joe Maddon might be able to whip them into shape or something. But if they had a young manager and a young team, this could be something dangerous. I think Joe Maddon is going to be the savior of the Cubs. But you might want to pull on your thinking cap if you're a Cubs fan for a minute. And well, let's get back to the Nationals. And really, again, I said they sort of had the same team, but it's really reshaped, you know. It just has a different feel. It wasn't the stacked pitch rotation. Don't get me wrong. They still have a great pitch rotation. You have Scherzer. I mean, the guy that has two no-nos in a year is just amazing. How can you not win? But Dusty Baker, I think he'll get them. I think the Nationals, some way, somehow, are going to get into the playoffs. And putting them into the playoffs takes a lot of teams out that, no doubt in my mind, should be in the playoffs. I mean, there are so many good teams in baseball. So many deserving teams. But it all comes down to how you play on the field. No matter what you look on paper, no matter what you think, it all comes down to the 162-game grind, right? It just all comes down to that. And you can analyze all you want. You can look at all the stats all you want. But it doesn't matter because when they get onto the field, that's when you see what happens. If you, again, are a sports fan, don't count your team out ever. I mean, unless you're the 16th I mentioned. But Marlins fans, you have as good a chance as anybody to make the playoffs. You can win the division, heck, for all I know. You're a contender. And it's just nice to see the competitive nature of baseball that there is today. I know a lot of people are upset, right, on your rebuilding teams. I mean, pretty much the goal, what baseball is trying to promote, if you're bad, tear it all down. You'll get better eventually. Look at this strategy that the Pirates used to do it. Look at the strategy for the Royals. Hopefully it won't take so long, like 25-plus years. But, you know, it's proven to work for the Astros. It's proven to work for the Cubs, for the Pirates, for the Royals. And that's why all these teams are doing it. And that's why all these teams could legitimately be perennial contenders coming up. I mean, right now we're talking about those six bottom feeders right now in the National League. But pretty soon here, they could be the ones talking about looking down on all those bottom feeders who didn't follow the same strategies. It's just how baseball is so competitive. It's just how it doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter what you think, what you look at. No matter how many stats you crunch, no matter what numbers you look at, no matter how many times you predict, it all comes down to the 162-game grind where you show up at the stadium every day and you play baseball because that's what it's about. I mean, I could sit here talking about all day about everything, breaking down every single number, and then making a realistic prediction. Am I going to be right? I like to think I will be. Is that the case? Most of the time, no. And I feel like the Nationals are being schnived here. Everybody's saying the Mets are going to win this division. What about the Nationals? What about them? Right? Dusty Baker, he does more with less. And he has a pretty good team. This is the best team he's ever inherited. So keep that in mind. The Nationals, I mean, they were in the playoffs 2 short years ago. Who's to say they're not back this year? Who's to say they don't win the division? Who's to say the Mets don't even make the playoffs? I'm not saying it won't happen. Just something to think about if you're an avid baseball fan listening to the show right now. All right, we're going to take a quick break on Inside MLB. We'll come back. We'll be talking about how Kershaw is ready to rock as LA faces the Flyers tonight. right, so we've been talking about Max Scherzer and Bryce Harper, how they are going to be leading the driven Nats. Oh, actually, they're leading them to a winner now, 2-1 over the Braves in the top of the fourth inning. They've taken the lead since we've started this show. Now it's time to do our first preview of the Inside MLB season, the MLB season. And we're going to be previewing how Kershaw is going to be ready to rock tonight as the LA Dodgers face the Friars. Now, this is a classic NL West rivalry. Last year, the Friars or the Padres, I mean, they were supposed to be a good team. They were picked by a lot of people to win the division. That obviously didn't happen. They finished second to last. But now the Padres sort of are in retool mode. It could be a quick turnaround. That's what they're looking for. That's what the new man, GM, is looking for, right? He's looking, originally, when he came in, right, he wanted to take over the roster, make trades, get the best possible team. This offseason, he's trying to do a quick retool, get the best prospects possible, rebuild that farm system that he shipped away. Do I think this is going to be a quick rebuild? I don't know. I talked about them being one of the six bomb dwellers. But I think the Padres are the closest to contention that we have out of the six bomb dwellers. And they could be a dangerous team coming up, you know? Anything can happen. But I just don't see the Padres doing well this year. But here's an interesting fact that I want to share with you guys. This is the second straight year that the Dodgers and the Padres are facing each other. Last year, it was Kershaw versus Shields. This year, it's Kershaw versus Ross. And, again, this is a heated rivalry. It dates all the way back to 1969. Wow, that's a long time ago. So when they faced off at 7 p.m. on ESPN, check that out. It'll be interesting to see who wins. I mean, I think it's going to be a great pitcher's duel. Clayton Kershaw versus Tyson Ross. And let's talk about Tyson Ross for a minute. I think he could be dealt somewhere this season. Because, obviously, if they're in this quick retool, Tyson Ross, I think, could be worth a good amount of prospects. Good amount. He's not going to be, like, sell the whole farm system, but he's worth a lot because he's a nice young pitcher, Joe Ross's brother on the Nationals, and flat-out pitch, he's in the NL West. He goes toe-to-toe every night. And the National League West, besides the Rockies, they have some great pitching. Let's go through it. Dodgers, you have Clayton Kershaw, new Diamondbacks, Zach Greinke, Madison Bumgarner. Three aces, one division. That's crazy. I mean, the Padres ace, Tyson Ross, and I don't even know who the Rockies ace nowadays is. It just seems like it's always changing. The Rockies, they can never get pitching. They always try to get pitching, but it just never works out because nobody wants to pitch at Coors Field in the Rocky Mountains where the ball just flies off the bat. There's no air resistance. I mean, I don't know what the Rockies are going to do. No pitcher wants to come to Colorado. It's kind of obvious. I know they try to get rid of that by getting the best offense ever. But at some point, you got to stop them. Because the offense, they're going to go through their cold slumps. Every offense does. It's the nature of the game. And the Rockies need to realize something, that they need to somehow, some way. You know what? I'm going to do a special show coming up. How to rebuild the Rockies. The most perfect scenario to build the Colorado Rockies. I think it'll be an interesting show. I'll work for a while on it, and then we'll produce it, right? That'll be exciting. But let's get back to this battle between Clayton Kershaw and Tyson Ross. And pretty much, besides the subtraction of Zach Greinke, this is the same exact team that we saw the Dodgers win the division. But some people are skeptics that they can do it again. Because Zach Greinke went to the division rival Arizona Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks also got Shelby Miller from the Braves for a heckload of prospects. So, the Diamondbacks are going to be competing. The Giants, who picked up Denard's fan, Johnny Cueto, Jeff Samardzija in the offseason, they're going to be competing. And the Friars and the Rockies are going to try to stay in the relevance range. The only way, it feels like to me, The Rockies. Always, always, always. They get off to the hot start, right? Everybody's like, this is a year for the Rockies. And they go downhill. It's just nature, I think, of the Rockies. It's what I've come accustomed to see. I will not be surprised at all if the Rockies do well to start the season. And then everybody's going to be excited about the Rockies. But guess what? Pitching usually tells the tale for a team. If you don't have good pitching, ask the Blue Jays this. It's kind of hard to make the playoffs. Really is. So the Rockies, again, have to get to the pitching, and we'll see what happens there. And again, much of the same team for Los Angeles. That's why a lot of people think they can win the division again, right? It's a possibility. And I definitely would not count them out on winning this division, because a lot of people are actually picking them not to win the division, which I'm kind of surprised. I know the Giants and the Diamondbacks got better. I know the Dodgers sort of stayed the same, subtracted Zach Greinke, which made them a little bit worse. But they also added Scott Kazmir and Kent Maeda. So that could replace Zach Greinke. And I think that the Dodgers could easily win this division again and definitely would not be surprised. Let's talk about this game tonight. And again, the Padres, they're retooling. And they'll be playing at 7 p.m. Eastern in an amazing atmosphere. Southern California on opening day. That's just perfect. 75 degrees, the sun is shining. What better weather for baseball? It's going to be amazing. And again, the Dodgers are a 3-time division champion. They're traveling down Interstate 5 to Petco Park. So switch from Dodger Stadium to Petco. It's going to be interesting to see what Tyson Ross says. I mean, he's still a major force. He's making his first opening day start, getting the nod over veteran James Shields. He started the game a year ago. Again, the opposing pitcher is the same. We talked about this. Clayton Kershaw, he's a 3-time NL Cy Young Award winner. And this year, he's just looking to add to his historic career resume. Just out of the reasons why he should be in the Hall of Fame. Just out of the reasons why he should be known as the best pitcher of all time. Clayton Kershaw is absolutely dominant, and he's still young. You have to realize that. People are like, Clayton Kershaw is a veteran, right? Yeah, but he's not above 30. That's crazy. Clayton Kershaw is like the fountain of youth, except he is young. And I think he's just going to continue his dominance. I just don't see him dropping anytime soon. And actually, we have some breaking news. Adonis Garcia hit a home run to tie the game up 2-2 with Atlanta and Washington. We were just talking about that. And Adonis Garcia, he could be something he's batting fourth today. A bit surprising, but Freddie Freeman and Adonis Garcia, the 3-4 hitters in the lineup. Both with home runs, both with RBIs. Wow. So, you know, it gets back to this game that we're trying to preview here. Am I still on? Hello? Okay, sorry. So, what we were trying to talk about is how last year, when the two teams met for the 10th time on opening day, the Padres had Matt Kemp. It was a big storyline because Matt Kemp was facing his former team. But San Diego at that point, they had Craig Kimbrell and Justin Upton, right? It was going to be an exciting year. Matt Kemp, Justin Upton, Craig Kimbrell was going to be the division year. A year later, Craig Kimbrell gone, Justin Upton gone, and now Matt Kemp is supposedly the star of this team. I think he is the star of the team offensively, no doubt. Tyson Ross, James Shields, sort of the stars of the pitching side. So it will be interesting to see how they fare. So I think the biggest change for the Dodgers, I mean, it's going to be seen on the top of the dugouts. Dave Roberts, new manager, Don Mattingly, moved to South Beach after the two parts, I guess, agreed to go away from each other. Don Mattingly didn't want the Dodgers. The Dodgers didn't want Don Mattingly. So, hey, let's leave each other alone. And they went their separate ways. Roberts, he was apologized as bench coach. So, again, it's kind of funny. Last year, it was Matt Kemp facing his former team. Now it's Dave Roberts trying to take control of the Dodgers team and will them to a World Series. The first time since 1988, and it's never happened. That's crazy. And do I think Dave Roberts is the guy to get them there? That's obviously why the gurus in the front office decided to do so. But I don't know. Dave Roberts, I know he was a decent bench coach, but I just don't see him as the exciting hire that the Dodgers wanted. I just don't see it like that. I think Dodgers fans aren't excited about the hire, but they're accepting it slowly but surely, right? I think much of the personnel really for the Dodgers is the same besides the guy who's steering the ship, Dave Roberts. They do have NL Rookie of the Year favorite, Corey Seager. He's a main addition to the everyday lineup. Again, Roberts promises to bring some change by using a variety of lines. That's one of the things he's sort of pledged. He thinks certain guys like Adrian Gonzalez and Justin Turner, they'll be there in the middle of the order. But besides that, nobody else is really safe in their position. So analytically speaking, I think it's a good hire for the Dodgers. And obviously the Dodgers wanted an analytics guru. Now, I do not know how much Dave Roberts would have liked analytics before, but of what I'm seeing so far, analytics are really what he's focusing on. And if he wants to keep his job, he's really going to have to focus on the analytics. Really, really, really. Because if he doesn't, the guru's upstairs, say bye, and he's gone, just like that. But anyway, we'll go over the lineups for the Dodgers and the Padres and see what I think about both of them. So for the Dodgers, you have Carl Crawford, Yasiel Puig, Justin Turner, Adrian Gonzalez, Trace Utley, A.J. Ellis, Jock Peterson, Corey Seager, and Clayton Kershaw. No really big surprises there. For the Padres, John Jay, Corey Spangenberger, Matt Kemp, Will Myers, Derek Norris, Yengervis Solarte, Alexi Ramirez, Melvin Upton Jr., and Tyson Ross. One thing that I do want to add, Yengervis Solarte and Corey Spangenberg, those are the only two homegrown players on that team. Now, that's noteworthy because over the offseason, we did a special on the teams with the best homegrown talent. And the Padres definitely were last, I think. And so I just wanted to point that out. People that didn't listen to that episode and are listening right now, we have just a little bit more time to cover this. Then we'll be moving to some fun things, talking about pets, dog lovers out there, and the whole Cavs on thing. So that will be next. We're going to get into that real shortly. Fans, remember you took me part of the show. The video is called 713-955-0677. Talking about Max Scherzer, Bryce Harper leading the driven Nationals in Atlanta right now with a tie score, 2-2 in the top of the fifth. I'm talking about how Kershaw is ready to rock as LA faces the Friars in a short hour and a half. But now I want to get into something else. And I want to get into Bryce Harper's opening act. Hey, a home run. Wow. Again, his opening act, he homered off Tehran. And this is just a continuation of Bryce Harper, right? Last year, he went off. He just went ballistic. One of the things I do really remember from last year, Pirates, Nationals, Gerrit Cole on the mound. I mean, you think Gerrit Cole against Bryce Harper, who's going to win? I think Gerrit Cole would win. But no. Bryce Harper smashed it off of him, absolutely obliterated it, and sent it into the right field bleachers, way up there, I think upper deck, actually. I mean, this obviously it's a pretty good opening act for him. And really, when he showed up at Turner Field today, he was greeted with a lot of boos. And I think he likes taking the villain act. Because most of the time, if you're a villain in any sports, do you know why you're a villain? Because you're really good. Do you know why nobody likes the Yankees? Because they're really good. Do you know why nobody likes Duke basketball? Because they're really good. That's just how it is. If you're a good player and people aren't as good as you, they're not going to like you. They're just going to boo you. He likes the villain. He embraces it. And guess what he did? He acknowledged the crowd with a wave before picking up where he left off last season. That's so funny. Comes out, hears all these boos, and just steps out for a second, waves at the crowd, say, "Hey, I'm back." Boom! Home run. And I actually found out about this by a friend, texted me during the game, said, "Watching live, saw Bryce Harper pick off right where he left off." And last year, he was the unanimous MVP. Could it be another unanimous MVP season? And the thing I want to talk about is when he hit this, it was on an 8-pitch at-bat. He worked a good at-bat, but then a 2-2 pitch mistake by Julio Teheran smashed it into the right field in his first at-bat of the season. So obviously a great start for Bryce Harper. Bad start for Julio Teheran, but he's been done well since then. Only 2 runs allowed on 4 hits. And for the Braves, they have 2 runs on 2 hits, 2 home runs from Adonis Garcia and Freddie Freeman. So I just think it's kind of interesting though that he hit off a 2-strike pitch, because if I'm correct, which I do believe I am, he did amazing against 2-strike counts. He just smashed everything. And the fact that he worked a good at-bat, you probably saw all his pitches Teheran could have thrown. And he was just anticipating something, you know, goodbye, right? And really, Harper, he's made a habit of home run on opening day. Guess what this marks? It marks his 4th career home run in the season opener. He homered twice in 2013 and once last season. In only 4 career games, he's hit 4 home runs. Now, some people think 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, right? And nope. He hit 2 in 2013. No, I guess he didn't hit 1 in 2014. My bad. But it's kind of amazing how boys done on opening day. And guess what? He became just the 2nd player since 1913 with a home run in 3 opening day games before turning 24. I mean, he's in some elite company. Really, I mean, also in Teheran's career against Harper, he has 11 hits and 4 home runs and 24 at-bats. That's crazy. He's obviously killed Teheran, and I guarantee the Nationals would love to face the Braves more and would love Teheran to be on the mound because Harper smashes him. What else can I say? And again, this is right where Bryce Harper left off. Bryce Harper, ever since he came when he was 19, I've loved him. I mean, when he first came up, he was not the villain. But now, he sort of embraced the villainous role. He loves being called the villain. He loves nobody like him. Because guess what? When you're a professional athlete, you're always looking for an urge, right? You're always looking for... How do I phrase this? You're always looking for an advantage, and sometimes having a chip on your shoulder like this with Bryce Harper embracing the villainous role is his drive. Prove them wrong. And when Bryce Harper stepped up there today against Julio Teheran, after battling an 8-pitch at-bat, 2-2 count, boom. Silence is what he said. Silence. Be quiet with all your boos. Guess what I just did? I gave my team a 1-0 lead. And they haven't protected it so far, but it's just something to behold. Bryce Harper's capabilities at such an age. He's still under the age of 24. That's super young. Super young. And the fact that he's doing what he's doing, day in, day out, it can't get any better if you're a Nationals fan. And the season couldn't have started any better. Because where was Harper in the lineup today? Let me check that for you. I thought he was batting third. Had to be batting third. He was batting, third. Revere, Rendon, Harper, Taylor came in for Revere. Two at-bats in. So, that's that. Bryce Harper, third at-bat of the year for the Nationals. First at-bat of the year for Harper. Started off with a 1-0 lead. And, again, the Nationals would love to get off to a hot start. And they're not based into a good team. They would love a 3-0 start. Just love it. That would be the ultimate for the Nationals, right? And sadly, I just remember this. It's the last opening day in Turner Field history. That was a hot ticket. I mean, opening day is always a hot ticket. But next year when they open up their new special stadium, that's going to be a hotter ticket. I'll tell you something. It's going to be a nice stadium. I've seen pictures. I've seen diagrams. And I've actually followed them building it on their website. It's been cool because I took sort of a little break off of watching it. And then you come back and you see how far they've progressed in only a short couple of months, maybe weeks. Just crazy how fast they build things nowadays, you know what I mean? Crazy. And another crazy person, Bryce Harper. Crazy. Nobody can stop him. It's like the pitchers are helpless. If Bryce Harper's going to hit a home run, he's going to hit a home run. And there's literally nobody in the league, I think. There's no kryptonite for this guy. And everybody's looking for that competitive advantage. Something to, give you an advantage. And there's really no advantage when you're facing Bryce Harper. I mean, nobody's going to hit a home run every at-bat. But again, I'll say it. If Bryce Harper wants to hit a home run in his heart, in his mind, he's going to hit a home run. I mean, his work ethic is insane. Absolutely insane. And I love guys with work ethics like Bryce Harper. Love it. It's great for the game. It's a great story. Just how hard Bryce Harper's had to work in his career to get where he is. Out of high school, being a celebrity on the front cover of Sports Illustrated. The journey of his career. I mean, ever since he came up, he's been a superstar. Ever since high school, he's been a superstar. And I think that's why he's been known as a villain, because ever since high school, I mean, there's probably haters on him, right? But he's taking those haters. Get out of the way. I'm here to shine. I think Bryce Harper is the best in the league at doing that. He knows how to shine in the spotlight. And Bryce Harper, in my mind, is the best player in baseball right now. There's no doubt about that. And the fact that he can go up there battling for 8 pitches, 2-2 count, and again, the 2 strikes, important there, because I think Julio Teheran had the advantage. And then Julio Teheran made a mistake. Bryce Harper sent it to right field, right back where he started from. 2 home runs in opening day in 2013, 1 last year, add to another one. Again, he is a first player. I mean, not the first. 1 of 3, I believe. Pull it up. Yes, just the second player to hit 4 opening day home runs but before turning the age of 24 since 1913. Crazy. That's really, really elite company. When you hear something be done for the first time ever in baseball, you're astonished. Second time, it's still amazing year. And only 2 times since 1913, 2 times in 103 years that this has happened, Bryce Harper's going to go on to have one of the best careers ever. I mean, if we're looking that far ahead already, and right now it is 2-2, heading into the top of the 6th in that game. You know what? I'm just really excited that baseball's back. I mean, I loved watching the Pirates yesterday, being in the Cardinals. The Blue Jays-Rays game, it was great. I was surprised that the Rays came back a little bit, down 5-1. And then Eric Cosmer shined again last night in opening night baseball. But opening day is here. I'm glad that you're tuning in. And right now, so far, we've been talking about, like, Bryce Harper on the Nationals. Their drive that they're having right now, their chip on their shoulder to get over the Mets, because really, people have overlooked them, I think. The fact that Dusty Baker is with the team right now, and Dusty Baker, over his career, he's done more with less. And that's what I think is impressive. When he's in San Francisco, he didn't have as much as he has now with the Nationals. Same thing with Chicago, same thing with Cincinnati. Now, what I remember him as a Cincinnati Reds manager, and he was great for them. Absolutely great. And I think the Nationals, it would not surprise me at all if they just overcame the Mets this year and they won the division. I think if they don't win the division, though, it's still very likely that they make the playoffs, being the first or second wildcard team. Now, I know if I'm saying that right now, in my mind, I'm leaving out some really good teams. I'm leaving out either the Cardinals or the Pirates or the Cubs. I'm leaving out the Diamondbacks, whoever doesn't win that division in the West. And it's just hard to really predict this National League this year. Because, again, the nine teams I've been mentioning this whole show that are going to be competing for the two wildcard spots and obviously the three division spots, it's going to be a dogfight right down to the very end. And I'm not as much in tune to the American League. I really love the National League. And after analyzing it for hours on end, I mean, I'm going to be intrigued the whole season. It's going to be a lot of fun. And especially watching guys like Bryce Harper doing what he's doing day in and day out. And obviously, impressive Nationals team. Bryce Harper is up right now. He walked in his second at-bat, and he's up for his third plate appearance right now. I'll give you an update after he is done. But first, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to be talking about how special opening day is, how every team, they're feeling optimistic, and how the fans, it's always a sellout, and I think it's just one of the best things that baseball has perfected and done. That is next. So far, we've been talking about the Nationals, Max Scherzer, their drive to win the season, their chip on their shoulder. They're trying to overcome the Mets. We've also been talking about how Clayton Kershaw, Tyson Ross, how it's going to be a great matchup coming up at 7 p.m. Eastern. We've also been previewing the National League West Division a little bit, also the National League as a whole. But now it's time, I think, it'll be perfect ending for the show on this opening day for every team, except the ones that have been rained out. To really just talk about how special opening day is. And if you see in the documentary that I released yesterday at midnight, it really recapped how special opening day is. And I've been working on the documentary since about January. If you want to check that out, it's on YouTube. Just look up opening day documentary. If it's not there, just look up Inside MLB and it'll show up. So I hope you watch it. Spend a lot of time on that. And now let me sort of do a recap again. How special opening day is. Now, when I think of opening day, I think about how all the fans, they're just optimistic, right? If you're a baseball fan, opening day is like the holy grail, because everybody's 0-0. It's a new slate. If you had a bad season last year, throw that away. It's a new season. Everybody believes. Every single team, all 30 of them, believe we will win the World Series this year. And that's what's so special. Now, I know 29 of those fans, those teams, won't do it. Only one team will do it. But the fact that there's so much optimism in the air, and the fact that every single stadium is sold out on opening day, every single team stadium is sold out for their home opener, because they love the first. They just love coming out to see their team playing after not seeing them for 6 months. That's a lot of time. And it's also a lot of time for me when I'm on air every day trying to do this hour show. It's a lot of time. So the fact that it's finally back, the fact that there's actually baseball to talk about, actually baseball to watch, it's just so exciting. It's so exciting. The fans. I mean, the game is sold out months in advance. And you go on StubHub, you look for tickets, are like $70 for stadium-only tickets. And yesterday in Pittsburgh, and there was snow in the field in the morning. That's what opening day is all about. I think bundling up to go to the ballgame, seeing your home team play. I mean, sometimes for people it means skipping out on work, skipping out on school. And I think, personally, that opening day or the home opener for your city, it should be a holiday. Off work, off school, cool sight to see. I know in Cincinnati, I think something like that in the Cincinnati public schools is illustrated. But again, as I promised, I would tell you by the Bryce Harper at bat, and he grounded out to first baseman Freddie Freeman in his third plate appearance. He is 1-for-2 on the day. Okay, so back to opening day, right? I mean, it's so busy. And these stadiums that fit like 40,000 people, I know PNC Park had 39,500 yesterday. Beautiful stadium too, even better when it's packed. Even better when the Pirates win too. But it's just so amazing that everybody's together. And they're together for one reason. Baseball brings people together. And they're there to watch their home team play and hopefully see the first win of the season. The first win of the season for their team. Or the hoping of their first home win of the season. And I think it's just quite a sight to see. And breaking news, actually, right now. Carlos Correa says baseball is stuck in the past in a first-person essay. He says, we've stopped the game from progressing. Now, that's actually an interesting statement that I want to talk about for a second. Then Carlos Correa, breaking news, in a first-person essay says, we are stuck in the past. We've stopped the game from progressing. Now, that could be a shot at Rob Manfred, or it could just be a shot of the game in itself. But a lot of players, it feels like, they're coming out now and saying, baseball's stuck in the past. Now, I'm going to love baseball no matter what happens. I love baseball now, but I know some people don't. I know it's sort of a dying sport in the young community, in the young age. That's what I'm trying to bring back, right? But the fact that he says we're stuck in the past could be sort of true, because ever since the game was founded with the Red Stockings in 1869, I mean, a lot of things really haven't changed. I know video replay and all that, it's nice. But if you look at the rules, there's really not been many major rule changes since the beginning, the dawn of baseball. And the Carlos Correa, and this first-person essay that he released, believes that, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that in some ways he's right. But the game definitely has progressed some. It just hasn't progressed enough, right? Baseball is still exciting to me. It's still exciting to millions of fans out there who watch the game every day. And what I do every single Pirate game that I watch is I print out a scorecard, and I keep score of the game. You know, with the old-fashioned 4-3, 5-3, and all those different things that you write on your scorecard. And I keep the scorecards all year. I try to keep score for all 162 games. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes I go to the game and I want to watch a game. But what I like to do is I like to keep score. And I guess you could call that something like it stuck in the past. But for some people, they just don't like to get out of their old ways. They want to see baseball stay in one spot for the rest of their life, for the rest of time. And a lot of people say it'll be done later, right? But I think the games could make some major progressions. So what I'm going to do for you guys tomorrow is break down a perfect Rockies rebuild. How the Rockies can rebuild. I told you that already in the show. But another thing I'm going to do is five progressions that baseball can make. Just after reading this Carlos Correa first-person essay over the break. I'm going to come up with some major progressions that they could possibly make and see how Rob Manfred, what rules he could change. Obviously, a pace of play is a huge thing. And just to see what could possibly happen. And more breaking news, Joe Panic and Buster Posey hit back-to-back-to-back home runs. First in opening day history since 1997. That's pretty impressive. Again, that's Buster Posey, Joe Panic, Denard Span. Back-to-back-to-back home runs. So we're getting some breaking news in this episode. Bryce Harper, his home run. Again, Carlos Correa's first-person essay, and then this back-to-back-to-back. Again, tomorrow, the major progressions, that's going to, again, have lost its pace of play. Because pace of play is really what people are worried about. Because on TV, people are saying that baseball is really not that exciting of a game to watch. For me, it is. But for some people, it isn't. I think it's more exciting for me since I'm keeping the whole game on the scorecard. And that's what I like to do. I encourage baseball fans to listen out there to themselves as well. But people are saying that there's not enough time for baseball to be played. But I want to say something else. Because college football and the NFL, they're one of the two most popular TV sports to watch. And these games have progressively gotten longer and longer. What have the ratings been doing? They've been progressively going up and up. Now, I know, again, people might find baseball boring on TV. And that's Rob Manfred's goal as commissioner. It's making it more exciting for the fans. And obviously the new iPad initiative, instead of carrying around notebooks, which they're still allowed to do, but iPads are not allowed in the dugout, if you didn't know that, could make it more modern, I guess. Obviously the replay has helped out. The one game wild card, I mean, I love that game. Now, I know the players might not like it. I know they're trying to fight for a three-game wild card. But the one-game wild card, it's just so suspenseful. It really is. I mean, for the losing team, it's heartbreaking. And the Pirates, they've lost the past 2 years to great pitchers. Madison Bumgarner of the Giants, Jake Arrieta of the Cubs. And for the winning team, it's great. It was great when the Pirates won in 2013 over the Reds. But the suspense that everybody likes seeing. It's just nerve-wracking. Like, when you go to the stadium during that game, it just feels like it's just so tense in the stadium. And when they played the Reds in 2013 outside of that game, after the Pirates broke through, you know, the Russell Martin home run, it was crazy. The place was going ballistic. The whole Cueto chant, I mean, it got the place rocking. It rattled Cueto. And I think that's what baseball is all about. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if every single game played was like a wildcard game, like opening day, where everybody came out of the stadium, where it was sort of packed to the brim, and they were as into it as they'd be into a playoff game, as they'd be into a World Series game? Because ratings are just kind of sad, I think. I'm looking at it right now. In the World Series, average game, are lower than a Sunday night football game. And with that number right there, I see exactly where Carlos Correa is coming from. I see exactly what he means, where the game is not progressing, where we are stuck in the past. Because in the past, baseball was America's number one sport before football, before basketball. Baseball was the thing to watch. It brought people together. In times of hardship, 9/11, it brought people together. Mike Piazza's home run for the Mets. During World War II, it brought people together. When after people went to go work in the mines, you know, in the 70s and stuff, came to the ballgame. It brought everybody together. And baseball, no matter where you are, if you're sitting in your living room, if you're at the ballpark, there's always something for you to do. For me, or for anybody, when you're staying at home, keeping score. At the ballgame, you're at the ballgame. I mean, there's so many things going on. It's just such a great atmosphere. And it brings people together. To me, baseball is more of a special sport than a viewer sport. It's just the case. And do I hope that we get out of the past and somehow keep the game intact from its amazing, beloved ways and get the ratings higher and everything? I love that. I love more people to get more into baseball like I am. But at the same time, I don't want things so changed that it just doesn't feel like baseball anymore. A lot of people have said, change the innings from 9 to like 6 or something. And I've rebutted that several times. I just don't think it would keep baseball's like feel, the feel of the game. In my mind, it just wouldn't. And we are running out of time right now on the show. So we'll get into more of this tomorrow. I thank you for listening. On the show, we've talked about Nationals, Bryce Harper, his amazing performance in opening days, Max Scherzer, how they're driven to win this year, possibly get over the Mets. We've talked about the Dodgers, the Padres, the Nationals, West, and previewing the game at 7 p.m. tonight. And also talked about Carlos Correa's first-person essay, briefly talked about the back-to-back-to-back-to-back home runs, and how special opening day truly is. I will see you tomorrow from 5 to 6 p.m. Until then, have a great day.